Now,
well, firstly, good evening, good evening, good evening. And apologies quickly there for the loud introduction that we had there. However, welcome, welcome, welcome to your Business and Economic Zone for this Wednesday evening edition here on your number one talk radio station, this being Eagle FM. And as always, guys, we bring you the... I can't say microscopic look, because microscopic look would mean that we are putting a magnifying glass on something. But we're not, actually. We keep zooming in and out. So we're actually the latest mobile phones technology. We zoom in and we zoom out, you know, as long as we give you that in-depth and then that over the view. Now, as we were rounding up and finishing up and touching up on the economic outlook for Namibia, we actually didn't end far. We didn't end far. And I even saw that there was a little bit of some activity with regards to some callers that wanted to come through with their contributions. You can still do so, guys. I'll be friendly tonight. I'll be friendly. Do not worry. You can step forth. However, the economic outlook that our dearly beloved central bank, the Bank of Namibia, has actually coincides close to what the International Monetary Fund itself has. However, I had a look at the IMF's scenario, but the IMF, apologies, updated this as recently as, I think, this week, the 11th of October. This obviously being that there has been updates coming through. Now, we've got a note, guys, in terms of the economic outlook that I started with from Monday night, heading into now, where we find ourselves in tonight's edition. I just wanted to stress the following. Now, as you and I know, we've already have the ongoing Ukraine conflict, the trade disruptions that are still there. I mentioned the ongoing ramping up of trade disruptions between the US and China specifically. Second onto that is also tighter financial conditions that are resulting from higher inflation rates in major economies. And then also commodities that are being hemorrhaged, or their prices being too high, or actually reaching elevated levels of close to unaffordability levels. It is still difficult to see whether or not a commodity would become unaffordable, i.e. that if you have people that can pay $20,000 for one Bitcoin, I do believe there is money out there to pay for a commodity, a physical commodity. But that's just me digressing in terms of thought process. The question that we've got to look at is that commodities actually form part of our daily functions. They do. Now, the central bank notes that according to the IMF, and remember the central bank's economic outlook is dated August 2022, so 2 months back. It's dated August 2022. The IMF, obviously, they update as they go. Now, the central bank noted that back in August with this update of theirs, that IMF's World Economic Outlook that was updated for July 2022 indicated that global growth was projected to slow down from 6.1% in 2021 all the way down to 3.2% in 2022. Also to factor on is that it will further slow down for 2023 to 2.9%. Now, you've got to understand, guys, and this is something that I've already preached back in Monday night session, that 2021's impressive 6.1% global growth or global, you know, recovery was because in 2020 alone, almost nothing happened. Every economy was standing in a negative deficit with regards to the percentage of economic growth. Everyone. Obviously, you would have still had some countries, some zones in some continents indicating that they were still experiencing the lockdowns in 2021 with Australia and New Zealand being the last, one of the handful of last countries to actually come out of lockdowns this year alone. This year alone. Or alone. Canada, the Canada was also the same. Adding on to that as well is that you had a small, tiny number of countries that actually went into their first ever lockdowns, national lockdowns. But they ultimately don't impact international trade as much, only that they are concentrated in trade zones themselves where it might impact their trade relations with their neighbors or their neighboring countries, i.e. the island nations of Tonga, Samoa, those guys. However, now, these outlooks that, or these projections that the IMF through our central bank is indicating is that it represents downward revisions of 0.4% and 0.7% from April 2022's World Economic Forum. Further on to that is also that they note with the international scenario is that downgrades for China and the US as well as for India are also driving the downward revisions to global growth during 2022 all the way through to 2023. So if we were talking about downgrades only impacting Namibia, downgrades will also be impacting everyone else. There's a whole host of countries. The biggest discussion happening right now is actually that there's potential downgrades being looked at even for the UK. We're not going to go into them because we're not in the UK. Expanding from that outlook is that the World Bank also projected global growth to slow down to 2.9% in 2022. Now the 2.9 actually coincides with the 2.9 with the 2.9 for the IMF, but the IMF's 2.9 is actually for 2023 and not for 2022. So the World Bank and the IMF themselves are being, you know, conservative in their approaches. Now the World Bank also indicated that the slowdown for 2023 would actually stand at 3%. So you just have to reverse between the IMF and the World Bank. Usually they work in tandem in some respects, however not so. Now, one of the world's biggest investment banks, being Goldman Sachs, has noted, on the other hand, that they expected global growth to actually moderate downward to 4.5% in 2022 for this year, globally, and a further 3.4% in 2023. So they're actually being a good deal overcompensatory. You know, they're overcompensating a little bit in terms of their projections, but we've got to look at things as they come. And these are from various sources, economic sources or financial sources, indicating their look on everything. But, and I say this but with some reservation, when we head towards the zone where Namibia is actually being kept or housed or categorized in, which forms part of the sub-Saharan African economies, which are expected to register a decline in growth during 2022 before a perceived or an expected improvement for 2023. Now, this stems, guys, from GDP growth in sub-Saharan Africa region is estimated to slow down from 4.5% for 2021 to 3.8%. And that thereafter, it is expected to improve to 4% in 2023. Now, the latest growth projections that the Bank of Namibia indicates here, according to them, remains unchanged from April of this year for the World Economic Forum for sub-Saharan region where we are found in, which also reflects the positive impact of increased fossil fuel and metal prices for some of the commodity exporting countries in the region we find ourselves. Now, that specific take there, increased fossil fuel and metal prices, which actually coincides with the trade statistics discussion I had on since Monday to last night with regarding to, you know, the biggest trade partners or the countries that have actually bought the most from us for the period of August. does coincide with this specific take coming from the central bank. It does coincide. This being ultimately that there is, you could think of it as that there would be increased interest in sub-Saharan Africa, the role that it needs to play. Obviously, there's been all this talk about Africa having the youngest, or actually having the labor force for the future. There's been all that talk going on. That Africa also has the largest demographic of youth, and that's now between 16 or 15 to 35 in that bracket. And I'm actually overcompensating because I actually pushed it up to 35. Taking into consideration, you know, that all these people, and that includes even Namibians themselves, all these people have to find jobs. They have to get economically active in one or other form. Or you might actually also experience a brain drain. That has been one of the biggest negatives that countries like South Africa, Namibia, a whole host of other SADC countries have been experiencing. Namibians who have tertiary education, going abroad to find better lives, better paying jobs, better working conditions, you name it, or that they just want different opportunities. The downside, however, to that is if you're experiencing a brain drain, instead of your local economy absorbing said skills, that could actually speak to two things. One, that there might be an oversupply of specific skills. And number two, that a industry or sector is just too small. Once again, still motivating the oversupply of skills, but it could be that the economy or the sector is too small to accommodate a demand or to accommodate an overburdening supply. Thus leading to people having to find opportunities in South Africa or in other countries or in other parts of the world. It might sound like a benefit, but sometimes it is not a benefit, guys. Sometimes it's not. Now, it's not to say that it's also completely bad. It isn't. I mean, in some cases, it has been proven, for example, like what happened with Philippines. The Philippines has so many citizens that work outside of its country that sends money back to its country. And this has actually been news articles and television reports that have indicated how vital that cash flow is, that money transfer system of family members of work, for example, in Europe, North America, in Australia, New Zealand, in other parts of the world where the currency is pretty strong. And if you send that money back to family, it benefits the host or the original countries or the Philippines' economy greatly, because there's a lot of foreign currency coming in through various other channels, and it does not just have to be about FDI or investments by investors. No. It's people sending money back home. But that's another point that I won't expand on for now. Because that phenomenon specifically is not so big for Namibians. It's not so big. It's but a handful. And only currently, if you have to look at any Namibians that are going out of Namibia, and these are conversations I've heard even directly or indirectly, and especially from young women between 21 or between 20 to 25, who are looking at becoming au pairs to go and study and live in European countries for better opportunities, better living standards, potentially just to earn a better living. I.e., whether it be that they study there, because most au pair functions are all about you need to be pursuing a study program while you are here, while you are there, not here, not in Namibia, over there, overseas. So ultimately, yes, but is it so big, so prevalent as yet, as currently? We don't know. We don't know. But the phenomenon is not that big as yet. Now, just before the next break dawns upon us, over the next 5 minutes. The key thing that we've got to look at here, guys, is that besides increased fossil fuel and metal prices for some of the commodity exporting countries in the sub-Saharan region being a little bit more favorable, GDP growth rates are relatively lower across these countries in the sub-Saharan Africa region compared to the advanced economies, which are actually the developed countries, and the emerging market or developing economies. Now, that's also because sub-Saharan African countries experienced more output losses and had also to deal with slower COVID-19 vaccination rates, yes, ultimately, and also that the supply disruptions and limited fiscal policy spaces that also coincided with their response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, I did mention with the Omicron breakout in December what it actually did. In just in that small window, that 2-3 week window of December, it was actually a negative. It was a negative we experienced as well, because Namibians who had flights, lodges and tour operating companies in Namibia who had bookings from overseas customers and so forth, were now sitting with a negative. We're going to look at a negative. They were going to look at a negative. Now, ultimately, this does allow in some part, it does allow in some part that we can actually see what was the scenario in 2021, end of 2021, as opposed to now. Fortunately, the COVID pandemic is, well, here in sub-Saharan Africa, or especially in SADC, it's virtually, you know, it's almost like it was a bad dream of 5 years ago. It's almost, we don't talk much about it. The unfortunate thing is, since everyone has now gradually opened up their borders, opened up their airports for travel, for tourists to come through, some of the international news platforms are reporting re-emergences of COVID-19 infections. I have to stress this because the UK, which is one of the closest tourist destinations to the African continent, China has been pursuing its own zero COVID policy. So where they have an outbreak, they are actually conducting a zero COVID implementation strategy, which means they actually target where the zone, let's for example say it was in Windhoek, in the capital. So where the breakout was would have been occurred, then only that neighborhood gets locked down. Or only if it was at a school, the children who went to school, only the households and the family members of those children would be locked down. So the zero COVID strategy is a lot more, it's harsh because you target specific zones where outbreaks would have were recorded and were observed. And so you maintain it there so as to not take umbrella strategies in order to say, let's for example say, return to the entire region, Comas region's lockdown, which ultimately has been some of the persistent strategies that we implemented, not just 2021, but also in 2020, ultimately in order to curb further infections. Now, as almost every country on the planet has reopened their borders, has reopened the airspaces, the airports, you are still running the risk. Countries are still running the risk of perhaps seeing reinfections taking place, or if they what they call it breakthrough infections, you know, where they had successful vaccination rollout campaigns, and ultimately you see people becoming reinfected. So that is still the risks that are being run. Now, the situation that I mentioned there with regards to the sub-Saharan African region is that most of the risks to global growth is actually dominated by uncertainties still. And these uncertainties still link back into the lasting legacy, the lasting impacts, the lasting implications from COVID-19. The lasting impacts, well, not actually lasting because it's still ongoing, the now escalating scenario of the Ukraine conflict.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no wish we faruja, Omanjirongo or Durataya Academic Year 2023, Okapatruka, Enterapa if you recall it paparoe, mo education, Ukarolong if you got a Ugufe or health and social science, or show my fano information and communication technology, or strategic management and leadership, Natai Monica, no tourism, or show hospitality and event management, business administration, Ekuterera. Environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. Where are they? Oto Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. Ilo tarere po embiro da IUM di kulipo pepe. Mo venduka, mo nkure nkuru, mo nkwe diva, no mo mpae. Ota de Monica. Where are they? Oto hangi ya venduka. 061 ongo di ne natunatu oma veri hamano inda komesho kufeto korori rimonjira toiko mbona kuiwa inerao pamwena IUM.
Whether you're a fit cookie or a potaiki, 20K could be on your way. Stay tuned. NHP, we're about you.
Now as we return from our extended break right there, the key thing from that outlook that I just indicated to you was that they are still, for globally, there are still risks hanging about. The risks are still there. Unfortunately, when you have to look at the supply chain disruptions, also along with some other very strict financial conditions that add risks to the global growth outlook, other risks to global growth include increased volatility in international commodity prices, as well as also the slowdown of the Chinese economy. Now, the slowdown of the Chinese economy, guys, in the fuel or the crude oil discussion of last week, which signaled towards the ultimate decision that OPEC took in order to slash production, which they announced would be at 2 million barrels per day of production, but international analysts have actually run their calculations, are actually estimating it to be at least at 1.25 million barrels of production being actually, or in reality, being slashed. If we get more specific, and this is now where the other zooming function takes place on this evening's discussion, is if you have to look at the domestic economy of Namibia, Namibia's GDP growth is projected, actually, it was projected, for further improvement in this year, mainly supported by a strong performance from a mining sector. That the real GDP growth also was projected to increase by at least 3.2% into 2022, before coming slightly down for 2023's 2.9%. Now, that estimated growth for this year represented at least a 0.2 percentage point growth. And it was actually a downward revision from the February take that the central bank had at a 2.4. Sorry. But the February one, you have to understand, was at the beginning of the year, right before the Ukraine conflict broke out. And the unfortunate, and this is always when you see, especially around conflict zones or when wars break out, is you see a direct reaction, mostly by analysts, mostly by businesses that operate within the commodity in the spectrum of the commodities. This can be everything from oil all the way up to gold, all the way up to diamonds. Okay, I don't know about how the diamond industry actually gets impacted. But where you need precious metals and other commodities, even beef for that matter, you directly see almost like, you know, knee-jerk reactions taking place. Revisions of contracts, revisions of of estimates with regards to profitability, revisions of, you know, how everyone else's prices impact everyone else's affordability. And I'm not just talking about there on the scope of between business to business interaction. Obviously, all that price adjustments does trickle down to us, the consumer on the ground. Because ultimately, if you have to look at the affordability of whether or not a business can afford to produce a product or a service, this ultimately stems from the range of pricing that they put forward to a consumer, that they put forward to a customer, that they put forward to a buyer. Because you have to understand, will that person be able to afford what you've now just adjusted, what you've now adjusted? You see, the product was already there, but the product had a different price offering. Now the Ukraine conflict comes along, now you have a different price offering. And you're actually linking that justification in for that price adjustment in to supply disruptions internationally, as well as also the Ukraine conflict's destabilizing factor with regards to basically all supply, with all supply chain or all supply channels. Now, if I can give you a, just a nice example of how the Ukraine conflict actually, in some cases, caused very severe knee-jerk reactions. If we can act, let's actually use a different analogy. Had very severe allergic reactions, because if a conflict arises, there's always a reaction, and it's always a reaction of safety, right? Now, one of the earlier this year, one of the earliest indications in terms of when Russia actually aligned and amassed a whole contingent of armed forces on their border with Ukraine. All the international flight operators, and I'm talking about all the airlines, and as we know, there are designated routes, you know, flight routes that airlines have from different countries and all across the world. Now, just to give you an example, North Africa, the Middle East, the Far East, Russia, and Western Europe is the most congested flight route area. The most congested flight route area. There are so many flights taking place there. It's almost per minute. There are planes crossing over that specific zone of the Crimea, or if you Ukraine-Russia zone. When Russia announced that they're going to invade, so many flights were canceled that had to fly over Ukraine. So many flights had to detour into Moscow and then fly around the zone. So many flights had to detour and fly in actually into, was it Greece? Greece, Malta, these Mediterranean islands, into Israel. They all had to circumvent the entire Ukrainian airspace. Now, as you and I also know, cargo, goods, some services, some products are transported by air. They are. We saw it clear as daylight here during the COVID pandemic. Most of the stuff came through air. Most of the supplies came through air, especially the PPE and anything to do with medical supplies came by air. They all came by air. So you actually see the vital contribution that air travel has to the global economy. It's not just about ferrying people back and forth, for tourists to go on holiday, for people to go on their business trips. No. Goods and products also get transported. I mean, it's one of the best ways by which the courier industry has actually flourished. The courier industry, the transport industry of transporting goods and products and parcels and post and mail by air. by air. It's one of the top things that actually made Amazon what Amazon is today. They leveraged the existence of another sector and its potential to amplify their business coverage. Now, Namibia's specific take in terms of the projected improvement in 2022 is also mainly on the account of anticipated better growth in the mining industry. Now, we know now that the ball has not yet been kicked for the soccer match that hosts oil in our mining industry. The ball has not been kicked yet. We are still just arranging the tournament. We are still just arranging who are going to be the teams playing in that league. Right? But we know oil has been found. Chevron is coming on board to explore for themselves. The thing is, that is all just as far as we go. That's all just positive sentiment, positive news, positive communication, because the numbers have not yet been explored since production has not yet begun. And ultimately, it's key when it would begin. So we've got to be patient. But the specific improvement that was being anticipated for this year was going to be diamonds and gold. Diamonds and gold. And if you guys do, just for interest's sake, you know, a little bit some, you know, Google research, because Google is now a human, right? You would find the positive sentiments, the positive perspectives that international investors have about Namibia, especially about Namibia's capability and Namibia's potential in the mining sector. I'm not going to understate nor overstate Namibia's value. Namibia is valuable as a country. We do provide various contributions on various international platforms, whether it be from sport, whether it be to commodities, whether it be to regional stability in terms of geopolitical positions, whether it be in terms of our own trade and the value of the trade that we also participate in and that we also provide. You can go on. Our telecoms capabilities, I mean, even with the announcement that the telecoms operator Paratus had with regards to the data center that they constructed just here outside of Windhoek on your way to Okanya. That in itself provides an economic boost, because do you know what that actually does to internet traffic? It actually allows our telecoms network to be so quick because of that data center, to be so quick. Ultimately, the data center is connected to the Google cable, the Equinox cable that they landed 2 months back in July. No, in August, sorry. Because it landed in Walvis or in Swakop. And then the next point for the Equinox cable was to land in, it's not Cape Town. I know it's not Cape Town, but it's another part on the South African shore where the cable has to land. Now, the role here is, because this is a Google cable, and because Google has invested in their own infrastructure, this means internet activity speeds up significantly. Now, it would have been nice if the Bank of Namibia also factored in the advancements in the telecoms industry, because Namibia's telecoms industry, we actually provide you some good infrastructure, some good service. I mean good. And I'm even overbellishing using the word good in that tone. Because we provide you with some world-class service provision. We don't need 5G. We don't. We can survive at 4G. We can. We really can. like the goal here is actually just trying to roll out 4G across the country, you know? But we're not as big as a farm. We're not Rwanda. Rwanda is as big as a farm. Rwanda is as big as Comas region, man. It's tiny. So yes, they can become a Wi-Fi hotspot. Yes, they can become a internet-free zone. Oh, a free internet zone. Sorry, not internet-free. A free internet zone. But if we do what a local authority, and I'm getting now onto that component, because for very long, we underestimate the role that the telecoms industry actually plays in a country's development. You see, the central bank noted here strong performances coming from the mining sector only. But never have I seen ever anywhere any positive light being shown on our telecoms industry. Never, guys. Never. And this is now on the macro level. Nowhere. The only discussion I had with you was about the affordability of data sets. But that's on the micro level, meaning speaking to you and me, we that buy our data from our service provider. From our service provider. And there are only two service providers there. Telecom and MTC. Which i.e. represents the same stakeholder. The state. But don't worry about the stakeholder. Don't worry about the stakeholder. Worry about the level of the product. The level of the infrastructure. You see, you can now actually afford and have and own a smartphone, an Android one. We won't talk about Apples or iPhones, because iPhones actually, guys, are a luxury product. They're a luxury product. The Android phone has actually become an everyday, widely used product. And I know for the iPhone lovers out there, some of you would call up and even tell me, yeah, but Apple is one of the top 10 mobile phone. Yeah, we know. Because there are people that just want to have an expensive phone that costs 30,000 grand, that costs 30 grand in their pocket, but they don't use the ultimate feature, the features that the thing comes with. They don't leverage all the features. They just want to say, I have a phone that costs 30 grand. The 30 grand is an embellishment, guys. Just to clear that up. It's an embellishment. But that's all. An Android phone costs you at best 1,005. 1,000 even. If you get it on, if it's an older version of the product. 1,000. And you would still be able to reach all the Google services. I.e., all the services which run on internet, which your service provider already has. And we haven't spoken about it. Nowhere in any economic outlook, especially about Namibia, are we talking about the world-class communications or telecoms sector that Namibia is busy developing. Now, I'll mention to you something more. Let's take one company in that sector. One company. And I'm going to go with that company, because ultimately, not that the company, you know, ultimately is Namibian, but it's actually becoming such a strong brand name in terms of it being Namibian, firstly, and the service that it provides. Take a look at Paratus Namibia. They operate in, five SADC countries. They've actually connected Southern Africa. The South Africans, no South African company has done it except for the mobile service provider, which is MTN. MTN is actually Africa's biggest telecoms provider. But we now talk about internet and infrastructure and fiber infrastructure provider. Just of internet, Paratus in SADC is slowly but surely getting there. If you look at the other two internet service providers in our country, they are only hemmed in because of Namibia. They can only operate in Namibia, the i.e. being MTC and Telecom Namibia. Now, but all three companies offer internet services. All three of them offer internet. But the one is operating on a bigger picture. It has infrastructure in South Africa, Botswana, Mozambique, Zambia, Namibia, obviously. I don't know about Angola. But Angola is there. I mean, you can even just go into the website. You will see where they offer services. Now, in terms of that presence, if you take that one company, that single presence across 6-7 countries, also an embellishment, guys. That company actually provides value back into the Namibian economy. We don't know, but it's a Namibian company that is installing infrastructure, providing services in one of Namibia's neighbors, in a handful of Namibia's SADC colleagues or SADC counterparts. That means, as a private entity, this company, it's providing value, it's developing its market share, it is entrenching and providing internet services, which is becoming one of the fastest growing sectors on the continent. And it's reaping its rewards. It is showcasing its investments geared towards that development of a sector. But every time, if we have to look at Namibia's economic prowess and Namibia's economic stability, we only make mention of the mining sector. We are not making mention of the potential that even our fishing sector can provide. The net resource there that has been dogged by negative publicity ever since 2019. Actually, even earlier. But the resource is there. You see, the resource replenishes itself. The resource is there. That resource gets exported. It gets exported. But we're not looking at the value that it brings in. We're not. That resource is also ultimately being aimed to being made part of everyday Namibian dietary lifestyles. That's one of the reasons why the company Namibia Fish Consumption and Promotion Trust exists. They're trying to promote fish in your daily diet so that we just do not have an over-dependence on meat, on red meat supplies, especially beef producers, goat meat producers, pork producers, mutton producers, game producers, game meat producers. So that there is not just an over-reliance on the red meat producers. We're not looking at the strength of that sector. It is most probably because the mining sector is the most directly linked, that links Namibia so directly to the global economy, it's the easiest route to take. It's not to say it's a criticism, guys, but it does highlight a question mark. It does. Because you just have to look everywhere to see how Namibia's economy actually links Namibia directly in with the global economy. Why not the tourism sector? Well, the tourism sector, although it has so many companies and so many active role players, it is still being seen as one of the smallest contributing sectors to our globe, to our overall economy. Another thing to also to factor in, and I'm going back to the internet services and the telecom service providers and infrastructure providers, is even though the two companies owned by the state, Telecom Namibia and MTC, even though they have the same majority shareholder, Still, they provide their value. Still, they provide their value in terms of the infrastructure, the services, the regular consumer consumer trends that they provide every day. I mean, every day you buy airtime. Every day. Every day you need data. Every day. So the money is moving. It is moving. It is circulating throughout the economy. Now you see, if we had to look out at, if we have to take a look at the outlook, and I understand that, as mentioned, the mining sector is the sector that links Namibia more directly with the global economy. So also the tourism sector, right? That it is the easiest to cherry pick and to display and to make, you know, to indicate a use of. Now, even though the negativity surrounding recent developments, for example, in the gold mining complex of Namibia, even the recent developments, the notion still here is, if you have to look at any growth coming from the mining sector and it cascading down into the rest of the Namibian economy, that cannot be measured because you can only see it in the form of direct salaries, taxes being collected by NAMRA, obviously other spin-off benefits being generated. For example, those employees buying products, buying homes, buying cars, you know, they engage in regular economic activity as a salary earner, as an employee, as a worker. And ultimately, there are the obvious royalties and other fares and tariffs that the mining companies have to pay. Obviously. Which also directly link into the direct earnings stemming from the direct global involvement for the specific sector, the mining sector. Now, as I mentioned, the central bank, and I'm now indicating to you the same, you know, the coinciding sentiment that the central bank had with their outlook of August 2022 for the rest of the year, is that they acknowledge that most sectors under the secondary and tertiary industries of our country will experience positive growth, but these will actually be subdued, meaning they will be low. With regards to all the other pressures that are being experienced internationally. And unfortunately, our telecoms industry and sector forms part of the secondary, tertiary, and even the facilitating or services industry. They do, ultimately. And mining is part of the primary sector. Like agriculture, it's primary. It's an extraction. That's where raw materials get extracted. Just like fishing, it's primary, it's extraction. So the key here is, in terms of, you know, firstly, Namibia's economy will have one or other feature that will always be linked internationally. We will always have that. Namibia's economy will have, well, it will still have room to improve, obviously, but still, the notion would be there, how much do we want to link the global international or global economy directly into the Namibian economy with regards to direct trade activities? You see, an ideal situation would be if we had five Ghanas on the continent, if we had five Ghanas. You know, we were selling to five African countries outside of the SADC region. Or if we took Angola's hand and we said, listen, we want to invest in refinery processes so that we don't have to wait for our oil to come from Jerusalem here to Namibia. And that's also just an embellishment, guys. But we quickly step into a short break, bringing an end to tonight's program.
Omia no hambo mbari vyo kukwibika uthemba wakukara nehi mehira kamwaha. Obo mkwate la wana mibia nungu mwango kulichangitha kuthemba wehi mwamatuli do waka mwaha poti yako na kuchosha uthoku ngolero mingi erari. O ministri hiyo tutu mbono viku nwa umewa no mathuni no wehi maichi bitho mkwate la wana mibia auhe nui imbambe tuli ya mwamahi waka mwaha okuliro ngerera omyano hambo mbali okumuna hilo matulilo motu kondwa vekale oshako veta yo mathuni no wehi raka mwaha poro shi wangungu obetu isha tano yomburo manyobieva lino milongo viva lina mbali. Omwano mutenga tushivitha ehindi mwotheri okutulungira mwotholo mana po rata yoshirongo nguma kura mene pohona pale wombadhu mwothondende lando shito wachiriko kusha omurara nganda weye operi mwondhuwa thane no yehi mapeutire na puma pia ndere hiroe. Omwano usha bali changa morutu romachitiro wa mani ngido wawuthi mba wakumune thutodo ndola dhana mibio mirongo iwa lina ndano kuhona pale wombadhu dhorutu romachitiro wa mani ngido nupewe oshira ithiro shomathu tiro weda korutu rokuda kuhona pale wambadhu kuchiari thiro chokucha wathutu nochi herengurua shoka urukonji ukiro po o passporta po ombapira yonku watenonu ya njako mshangire po kuchira tashehi podo mbero dhoru kondwa oturutu tomani ngiriro tuli podo mbero odombadhu na po ministri yopopedhu na ove omwano ucha tatu oba ungule wa ministri yotutu mbono vikunwa omeba no mathuni no wehi morukondoroe mabe katara lukua mwama ningiro woye noku karekena ehiro yendo othoromana po rata yoshirongo obo mwini nomurara ngandangu no uthe mbawe hii vathero kukarapo indu chumape katale wa koma ningiro wei omwano usha ine oma ningiro weye maeshu kifi wako uleo wamayu bahambo mbali potuwewe troma anjero wenjibithiro kutara kukushapena mbeno umune walwe mwishinashu yeho omwano usha tano uchirata choma hii murukondwalwe machi haamu kutara mwama ningiro weye oshako veta yomathuni no wehi edhe balo olisha tano mwaveta yombura omayobie balina mbali omwano ucha hambo umwe omaningiro wee shia akurwa oshimo pewa oruturo uthe mbao kukarane hii na lihindua kombero yohona pali wombadhu kukusha ruhindwe kove omwano ucha hambo mbali ombapiro icha hambo ndatu mwodo mbapira ndo mwurongo maiku ningire kusha injowye kuhuthe upalitha onjibi filo njiri yomo oruturo ye futodo ndola dhana mibio mirongo vitano dho kukatora oruturo ipodombero yohona pali wombadhu Demburuka kusha, ehiro ye, ori ya bedoroe, shito maningiro ndino kukusha uri shangithi. Odo programa do mekuli thiro wehi, rochi wangungu, nongu hivi kilo kudako horomendi ya Namibia. Urwano romahi wa Europa, no maungulilo wakumwe, kweno horomendi ye hiro bandu eishi, kuturungira mwambanga yo mekuli thiro ye hiro bandu eishi. Kujibu thiro kumurungu, hakaena kweno rupa romapiti thiro odombude, the ministry, podono moranda. Onoro hambo umwe noimwe, ombali, ouliri, ombo datu hambo bali, omuvyu, ombali, omuvyu.